Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Seth Payne.
And I'm Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
That's awesome. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or if you're a jump straight to the highlight person, we got you covered as well.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, my name first, obviously.
Hey!
And hit the follow button to get every minute of the show, your way and on your time.
It's the Payne and Pendergast Podcast. New episodes drop daily.
That's right. You are in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. We're gearing up for what is a huge, huge game this weekend. The Battle of the Defeated is what I've taken to calling it, as both 0-3 teams will enter the arena, in this instance, NRG Stadium, and one of them will have to win. To get ourselves a little bit more prepared for it as we move towards it, let's go behind enemy lines and talk to the host, one of the hosts of 3HL, an afternoon drive show in at 104.5 The Zone in Nashville. His name is Ron Slay. Ron, what's happening, man?
Man, what's good, Reggie John? What's happening with y'all, man? I had to dress up in my disguise, my Halloween disguise, if y'all was coming behind enemy lines, so they won't think, you know, for a second that I'm pulling for somebody to come out of this thing with a win. Like, this ain't right. Not in the AFC South. We got to get something together, man.
Man, who are you telling? We've been over here lamenting this team the way that it's gone. I'm sure because we have the idea of the tone and tenor of the conversation here. I'm interested. What has the conversation sounded like on that side? Because obviously Tennessee, I mean, you had the number one pick for a reason last year. But I imagine that having the number one pick, you didn't expect it to start like this. What has it sounded like on that side?
It's disgruntled. The fan base, you heard boos, and not necessarily for the players right away in the last game, but you heard boos, like, for management and the coaching staff, which is, this is a fan base that rides. I will give them that, through the thick and thin, man. Me being one of those fans, you cheer them on, you take the bad with the good, same thing. But coming into this season with the number one pick, that was your glimmer of hope. And everybody clinged to it. You thought if you put the pieces around it, people took the right steps, especially on the offensive line to protect them, that things would go in the right direction. One thing you wouldn't be struggling on is offense. So it's like, okay, you got a wide receiver one in Calvin Ridley. What are you going to get from him? Why is it taking so long for him to get going? Because Cam is delivering. He may miss on some, but it's giving you plenty of opportunities. The only bright spot so far are the rookies. You get DK, and you also get Elijah Manor. But those guys shouldn't be the ones that used to walk into every game saying, man, I hope they get going. You know, you should be able to depend on guys like Tony Pollard. But you look at the offensive line, J.C. Latham, who took a huge step in the spring and in the offseason to get ready for this season, has been out the last two games. This will be the third game. Then you look at Zeitler, 11-year vet, man, who's coming in and playing with his status and thinking, okay, we're going to get it together. He's out. So it's like now you're walking into the Houston series and you know what it means not only to this fan base and to you guys' fan base, but to ownership. Mm-hmm. Like, this is huge. So it's disgruntled. The phone lines have been hopping. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to see, man. I will say the fans are cheering for the coach to be fired. That's where we are.
You mentioned Cam and in passing there a little bit, but I'm wondering if you could dig in a little more on what you're seeing from him, any development even in these early weeks?
Yeah, I think what you see from Cam so far is him being decisive. Also, one thing is the leadership. And when I say leadership, you can always throw that out and say, oh, what is he doing? Is he breaking down the huddles? Is he leading the guys out? Is he the first one in? We heard all those stories, but it's the command that you see. When guys like veterans like Lockett or Calvin Ridley may run a wrong route, he treats them the exact same way he would Elijah Manor and get on them. Same thing he would do Big Chig, the tight end. The problem is what's going on transferring the message from coach to player. Mm-hmm. And is it getting in, and is that getting translated to the players? Because at this point in the season and game, going into game four, you shouldn't have alignment problems. But as far as his growth, I thought he's taking it in stride. You never see him get too high. You never see him get too low. And you never see the facial expressions of frustration. It's more so of, how can I fix this? How can we get back to it? So that's the bright spot. And I thought coming into the draft before taking him, I wasn't a huge fan of him, but watching him and watching him operate daily, man, this young man has it. Well, Jim, now, will he have it with this team? That's the next question.
Well, and the next question for me ties in directly with that, because that's got to be a big factor in the play calling change. What played into that? And is it just a matter of taking less off of Callahan's plate, or do you think there's going to be a real change in actual play calling?
Yeah, I think the play calling will stay the same. It took so long to get this install. This started way before even spring, before guys coming in, free agents, so forth and so on, and then getting a training camp. So for them to change up the entire play call, I think that would be a problem. So the install will still remain the same. The delivery of it, I think, will be different. And also the way it's put in. Like, you could kind of, before Callahan got here, it was run, pass. Like, what pattern do you go with? Is it, can you pick up on it, or is it something that you say, oh, wow, this is a change. We ain't seen this. Are you going to keep running screen, pass? Like, something has to change. Something has to be able to be read. Cam also has to have the opportunity to get to the line and change and make his own call. So I think that right there will be the biggest thing as far as the players go. But outside of Coach Callahan, I thought it was more taken off of his plate, less responsibility, where he can pay mind to everybody else out there, defense, special teams, offense as well. But it just wasn't working with him calling the plays and managing the team at the same time.
We're talking to Ron Slay of 104.5 The Zone in Nashville as we go behind enemy lines, get some insight on the Titans. And, I mean, you talked about the offense. Look, it sounds like we're talking about Spider-Man memes with the way that it's going here to some degree. But I want to talk a little bit about the defense and what is the reaction and what the hell has been going on through L'Jarius Sneed's mind calling out Nico Collins that way. How have you guys been interpreting that, and where is that coming from?
I take it two ways, man. One, first and foremost, as a competitor and playing the game, I look at it as, okay, you're feeling good. So these knees and everything, quads and all these things have been hurting that made you sit out and, you know, be limited in practice. Oh, that's null and void now. You're ready to go. You're challenging wide receiver one and knocking on his door and then playing knick-knock and running and hiding. No, you got to stand right there. When Nico opened the door, you better be right there. Don't you put that on everybody else. So the second part is, boy, I sure hope everybody else is ready to go, because if you're not chasing him around the field, if he got to go against Roger McCreary or Baker Jr. or one of these guys that's been elevated from the practice squad since we lost Brownlee Jr. in a trade, they got to answer that door as well. So it's not just you. And it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. One thing about it, man, he is talking, but I always say, if you talking, you better have a whole bunch of dogs behind you, because if they not, it's going to be trouble.
I'm glad you brought up the Brownlee Jr. trade, because this is a team, and we're being assured by your head coach there that they're not selling. How much is that true? Is this a little bit of a selling, or what? Is there any other logic behind sending away a player of that caliber this early in the season?
Yeah, I believe Callahan was throwing the line and speaking for himself. He's not selling. Well, and I think this move came from upper management, whether it be Chad Brinker, whether it be Mike Borgonzi, whoever it was that pulled the trigger on this, they did this, and Callahan had to go out and speak for it, which I think was unfair in this situation. But it is what it is. They all in lockstep and moving along. I don't think he wants to sell anything. But one thing we knew when Borgonzi came in, coming from Kansas City, they wanted to, stockpile draft picks and try to build through the draft. So It's just weird that a guy that's been starting for 2 years, going this being the second year, that you were up and trade after game three. And when you're talking about establishing culture and identity of your team, what is it? Yeah. Outside of Big Jeff, we're trying to figure out, who is it? Tavondre Sweat was a guy that was supposed to be there to take the load off of Big Jeff. He hasn't played. So I'm not sure, because we haven't heard from upper management. We've been ringing the phones and trying to get them to say something, and they haven't said anything. And it's their right not to, but it's also the right of fans, journalists, talk show hosts to question just what the hell are we doing too.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the defensive front. Obviously, Jeffrey Simmons is where you start. And the Texans, I mean, clearly they're weakest on offense, and they're weakest on offense on the offensive line. How do you see that playing out?
Well, I tell you what, man. I just had knee replacement surgery, and I'm 11 weeks removed. I may be able to get just a little bit more pressure than our edge guys have. if that says anything. We need somebody to wake up, man. You got guys, Arden Key is a veteran in this league, always is around the play, but never kind of necessarily making the play, if that makes sense. Femi is a guy that's young, that's coming along, second-round pick, and you expect him to come and be able to get pressure on the quarterback. We haven't seen that with him yet. So outside of Big Jeff, I'm not sure who gets home and who's worried about anybody else getting home if you're the opposition. So I think Denard Wilson is going to have to scheme up some things to kind of bring some corner blitzes, maybe some safety blitzes, get some linebackers like Cedric Gray going inside. Hopefully try to get some to manufacture some quarterback pressure, because right now, it's null and void, man, and we saw that in the last game against Daniel Jones. He just did what he wanted. They were there so close so many times, he extended it with his legs, and I wouldn't be surprised if C.J. Stroud was able to do the exact same thing.
Speaking of quarterbacks and extending with their legs, Cam Ward seems like he's handled himself well with moving, but what is the expectation, what are the conversations, and what are you maybe hoping to see from this team as they're facing off against a dynamic duo in Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter Sunday?
Yeah, that's a load right there, because you ain't even mentioned Barnett coming off the bench. Like, us being Tennessee, like, we know about him. So they got a load, man, and they come in waves, you know, defensive mentality. Looking along the offensive line, if I'm on the defense, we're looking for wherever the candy bar is. And right now, it's not on the left side when facing them, with Skoronski and Dan Moore, not necessarily. But that right side, man, if Zeitler is out and Latham is out, that's Halloween over there. They just giving out candy. And them boys, I promise they're going to feast. So whatever we can do, man, whether it's play action, Sam's done a terrific job with the play action, being able to sell that and people biting on it and getting time to get opportunities to get guys open. But the other part is guys got to catch the ball. Cam's done a good job of being able to extend plays and play off platform. But one thing about it, he is a rookie. And if you continue to do that, that can be troublesome. So how you hold up against this defensive front is beyond me right now, but we do have Bill Callahan, who is supposed to be the offensive line guru. So we'll see. We'll see what's put in place, man, for this onslaught that you guys are coming with.
All right, Ron, I got to ask you about this. We all know about Amy Adams-Strunk and the Oilers thing and the bitterness between she and the Texans ownership, specifically Hannah McNair. When you guys have these fake reunions with Bruce Matthews and Mike Munchak and Warren Moon and Earl Camp, fans know that's fake, right? Fans know that they just have to clap and act like they belong to them just to be nice. I mean, they have to know that, right?
I tell you what, man, it's one thing, man, when you get to the family reunion, you got your uncles in that you done heard all the stories about, but you never hung with them. They never let you go over their house. That's kind of like what it is. You know, when you get those guys, you get those veteran guys in, you're like, oh, hell yeah, man. He played all the time. Oh, yeah, he got the big house down there in the gated community. Yeah, that's my uncle. So we claim him like that. You know what I'm saying? We know all we got is McNair and Eddie George and Keith Bullock and guys like that. But, listen, if they're going to keep popping up at the family reunion, we're going to keep accepting them. I promise.
We're talking to Ron Slay, 104.5, the Zone in Nashville. Lopez, don't say a word. Don't say a word.
I won't say a word.
Ron, I need you to help me. I need you to help settle a debate here. We've been very fond of the college team in town, one of the college teams in Vanderbilt. Can you tell me, are y'all talking about Diego Pavia as Heisman candidate right now?
I tell you what, man, if he continues to win, walking into the SEC conference play like he is and leading these guys, you absolutely have to talk about him. Will he win? I'm not going to say he'll be up there. He might not even be the top three. But one thing you will not do is have the Heisman talk and not mention him if these guys continue to win. If they go down there a week from now and play Alabama after getting past this game and they play Alabama and they beat Alabama, oh, hey, man, I don't know what Nashville, Tennessee may do. I'm talking about the roof may, the Cumberland River may overflood, Nissan. They might not even have to worry about that down. We might have to just go straight into the new stadium and go on and play in there because it's going to be unbearable out here, man, with all these anchor downs that we'll have to deal with.
You are the man.
No, he said if. He said if. Y'all not having that conversation right now, are you?
Man.
That conversation is not happening right now. You said if.
I mean, it's sneaking up. It's sneaking
there
up.
We're
whispering it. We ain't having it. We're whispering it.
Did they bolt down the uprights this time in the with the upgraded stadium? Because I know last time when they beat Alabama, they took them goalposts all through Nashville.
They sure did. Took them all down Broadway and everything. I think they still auctioning off pieces of that. So they do have a new stadium to go with it. But I will say, man, you got to tip your cap to Clark Lea. I grew up here in Nashville and understand what Vanderbilt was. They've always been a basketball school, if nothing else. Football here and there. But what he's done, man, being an alum of there – and being able to, you talk about culture and infusing them with culture, that's what the portal does, and he's taking advantage of it. And, man, you got to tip your cap to Clark Lea and this guy.
Yes, that is Ron Slay, 104.5 Hell of a Zone guy. In Nashville. Ron.
And I'm a ball. I'm a ball. I'm a ball through and through, so let me just say that, too, for
see
the fans.
Objectivity,
I know it,
Ron.
Yeah.
Objectivity.
I appreciate that. I'm looking forward. We'll talk to you again later, and if I end up in Nashville, I'd love to have a drink with you. But what I want you to know is I'm looking for your misery on Sunday. I just want you to know that, okay?
Hey, well, guess what, man? You ain't got to put no binoculars on or no glasses for that, man. This is out here in the open. I'm pulling my Treylon Burks jersey out today. I'm looking for any kind of hope, man. I'm trying to bring Treylon Burks.
Goodness. I thought Treylon Burks was going to be nice for you, too.
Ron, my God.
Ron, man. We appreciate you, man. Have a good one.
No doubt, fellas.
There he is, Ron Slay, 104.5 The Zone in Nashville. That was a treat, man. I love Ron. But they sound like they are doing down bad. Sometimes you just need to look at somebody else doing worse to make you feel just a little better, don't you?
Yeah, you want to feel skinny, hanging around with fat people.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. It's about that time where we hand things off to Figgy Fig for the mixtape. What you got for us, man?
Yeah, so I got the top 10 friendliest cities in America. Where do Houston rank? And plus, we talked about Zion yesterday, about him getting skinny. Somebody actually compared him to something that's a little bit uncomfortable. I want to see how y'all feel about it.
Oh, I can't wait to get this. The mixtape is coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Seth Payne.
And I'm Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
That's awesome. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or if you're a jump straight to the highlight person, we got you covered as well.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, my name first, obviously,
Hey. And
hit the follow button to get every minute of the show, your way and on your time.
It's the Payne and Pendergast podcast. New episodes drop daily.
Yes, it is the mixtape in the loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Thursday. Happy Thursday to everyone out there. So a new survey asked residents to rate their own cities based on how welcoming they are. And they produced a list of the 10 friendliest cities in America. Where do Houston rank?
Okay.
713-572-4610.
I think they're pretty high. I think we're pretty high.
Yeah, I think Houston, I said it when I came here. I'm like, man, I wasn't sure if it was just a Southern thing or what, but Houston is very friendly, man. I felt at home when I first time I came down here.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's tough moving to a new city
sure. And
not knowing anybody. But as soon as I say, yeah, I'm actually from Cleveland, Ohio. I just moved here. It's like, oh, really? I got to show you what to do. I got to show you what. So I felt at home once I moved.
Now, I haven't looked at your list. Is it high?
Yeah, it's pretty high. It's pretty high.
Mm-hmm. The tough thing about it is there's some cities that you would think of that are like not friendly at all, but then people's experiences actually are a lot more friendly than they imagine, and that might jump them up even higher.
Yeah.
Like somewhere like, and I know this sounds crazy to say, somewhere like Philadelphia.
Philadelphia's nice.
Right? It's like you
city
think
of brotherly love.
East Coast, yeah. And you're like, but no, it's like, it was actually cool being out there, man. Yeah.
Spoiler alert, they are not on the list.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is not surprising. It's not surprising to me. I'm going to go from 10 to 1.
Okay.
Number 10, Denver, Colorado.
Okay, yeah.
Denver, Colorado.
Why'd you, What was that for?
They have to be nice. It's such a tourist city. You know, but
I hadn't even considered like
skiers.
Places that lean so heavily into tourism.
Although, the reason I pause, because some tourist cities hate the tourists.
Yeah, but at least, yeah.
But they have
tough to
be. I mean, it's such a big part
that's
of
similar to, I feel like New York City is a tourist city.
Yeah.
And they
kind of. They got to kind of put up with it.
Yeah.
Well, New York City is not any one thing, though. Like, New York, it's one of the things that why New York should never host the Super Bowl. Because in any place where the Super Bowl is, it should feel like the biggest thing in town. And it will never feel like the biggest thing in town. Because there's always
a Super Bowl in New York.
There's always something else that matters more to a number of people
in New
York.
They might be irritated because the Super Bowl is there.
And you're not wrong. They were irritated. And Reggie's right. It was kind of lost in the muck. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can see that.
New Orleans.
Number 9, Minneapolis.
That's a great answer.
100%.
That's a great answer.
Nice people.
I'm surprised I didn't even. That's low for Minneapolis.
Yeah. I was in Minneapolis for that Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, y'all didn't go outside, did you? It was so cold.
He actually did go outside.
A guy in Minneapolis that's a friend of a listener took me ice fishing. I went out on one of the lakes about an hour and a half outside of town. He's like, sure, man, I'll be happy to take you. I'm like,
you posted a video and everything.
I'm like, you will? And I went in his truck. We put up the tent. We used the auger to dig the hole. Sat there for about 4 hours catching fish, ice fishing. That's friendly.
That's very friendly.
You didn't know me from anyone.
Hold on. So right now, we got Denver. We got Minneapolis. I want to see if there might be any sort of like sports tie-ins that we can have here.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That's where I'm looking at this moment. So right now, because I was like the Vikings – I do wonder how that kind of ends up tying in here. The Broncos might fit in with a theory that I'm working on. What comes in at 8?
Number 8, San Jose, California.
Okay. All right. So I think
I've only been there for once for a football game, so I can't really see that one. Yeah.
I don't even know what San Jose's like identity is outside of the remainder of the Bay. Like I really and truly can't parse it.
Yeah.
Number 7, this one kind of shot me a little bit until I thought about it because we were there a couple years ago. Boston, Massachusetts.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a surprise. Yeah,
like, I was surprised. Yeah.
That's a
good
little
old Boston.
You said we let the people of the city rate themselves?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
We're friendly.
I'm going to go ahead and put that star next to 7.
The thing is, because we went up there for Army-Navy game.
Yeah.
And just kind of walking around and just talking to random, I don't know what they call themselves, Bostonians. Bostonians. Mm-hmm. And they were super friendly. They found out we wasn't from there, and they're just like, "Oh yeah." I feel like that part. Maybe that's not everybody, but I could kind of. At first, I was scratching my head like, "How did they make the list?" Any East Coast,
I will say it surprised me. But Boston's one of those cities I've been to a lot. You know, over the course of the NBA and the NFL and all that stuff. Never really had a bad experience.
Yeah. The thing about Boston, though, is like, and I'm with you, Toby. Boston, no way they're rude. They are, but for them, that's not rude. That's just them, right?
So
like, everything comes across as rude to us because we're like, yo, you're being rude. And they're like, actually, that was just normal stuff. We was just talking.
Yeah. Number 6, Honolulu, Hawaii.
Yes, totally.
Okay.
They love having you there.
Number 5, coming in. Number 5.
All right.
Houston, Texas.
Outta, baby.
Not
I
bad.
Like it. I think
not
that's
bad
about
at all.
Right.
Yeah. Like top 10 and they're 5. I feel like that's pretty accurate. Like I said, I came down here. It seemed like everybody's friendly. I told this to my wife because she thought the first thing she thought about was just being in traffic and rude people and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of put it like this. I told her, I feel like Houstonians are polite a-holes on the road.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one place is the road.
Yeah, but I feel like they're polite with that because in New York, they'll give you the finger. Mm-hmm. They'll blow their horn and cut you off.
Yeah.
Here, I feel like they might toot your horn. They might cut you off, but they just cool. They chill. They don't give you the finger or anything like that. So I feel like they kind of polite with it in a way on the road.
We have guns and we're afraid.
Yeah, that's what somebody said. Was like, how can Houston be on here with the potential road rage? And that, look, every place has its dangers, I guess is the way that you have to put that. Yeah.
The first time I was down here and I made a mistake and cut somebody off.
Oh, no.
That person's beep. I made a mistake because I was lost and the guy beep. And he pulled up to me looking in the window. I'm sitting there like, we good, man? Like, I don't want no problem. I don't know what you got in that car, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I don't want no issue. I seen all those Instagram videos going viral and all that stuff.
So as of right now, we got West, Midwest, West Coast in the Bay Area. We got Boston on the East Coast. We got Honolulu and Pacific Islands. And then we have Houston is the first.
We're all over.
This is the first southern city on here. I wonder
don't call
how we
us
go
southern.
In.
The,
yeah, so I'm going to speed.
Houston exists as a lot of things. Texas itself is
how
a lot
dare
of stuff.
You.
Yeah, so I'm going to speed race through the rest of them. Number four, Miami, Florida. Number three,
really?
Phoenix. Number two, Raleigh, North Carolina. And number one, San Diego, California.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
all tracks.
It's hard to be in a bad mood when you're in San Diego.
That all tracks. And Raleigh is a great answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
San Diego's gorgeous.
Yeah, so salute to everybody down here being friendly.
Yeah,
so.
How about that?
Yeah, don't mess up the street.
yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Seth Payne.
And I'm Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
That's awesome. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or if you're a jump straight to the highlight person, we got you covered as well.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, my name first, obviously.
Hey!
And hit the follow button to get every minute of the show, your way and on your time.
It's the Payne and Pendergast Podcast. New episodes drop daily.
All right, we in the mixtape in the Loop Sports Radio 610. So remember yesterday we talked, it was during Judge John Lopez. We talked about Zion Williamson losing a lot of weight and could he be all NBA and all that stuff. And maybe I should have brought this up about him losing weight and possibly could it be a bad thing?
Mm-hmm.
Because you see a lot of people kind of improve. And I think to me, the first person I thought about was Kevin Love, how he lost a lot of weight.
Yeah.
And I felt like he lost that big man mentality because I felt like the fat cut Kevin Love in Minnesota was averaging like 26 and 12 or something crazy. Maybe that wasn't it, but
he was also much older by the time he lost weight and transitioned his game to being more of a shooter. But I think you're right. Like that physicality that you have.
That big man mentality. Yeah. Because even though Zion, he could jump out the roof and all that stuff, but he kind of had that big man mentality a little bit, that size. Apparently somebody feel like him losing weight could be a bad thing. So let's go to It Is What It Is show with Cameron. And he
again, they did it ironically. That's why it's called that.
Yeah. So here's Cam talking about Zion getting skinny and if this would be a good thing for him just being skinny.
So sometimes you got a doing too much, not saying he shouldn't be in shape. But now what if he don't play the same? I'll say this. This crackhead, that was mad funny, man. He used to have the signs and shit. What's the best city?
The best city to meet? Miami.
His sign said generosity. Gave him $15 for that. I like that. Generosity. What's the best nation?
Donation.
I'm trying to quit snack. This is what I'm saying. I give a little $7-$8, whatever I got there. The more the story is, he cleaned himself up and he wasn't that funny. And the jokes he was telling me, I wouldn't give him a dollar for. Got whacked. They was trash. Well, hey, he was clean. I can't pay for the clean you, but I respect it. You don't know what you get with Luca and Zion. So go ahead and try and clean him up and make him skinny. You will not get the best city is generosity.
That is such a good point in a way that I did not anticipate. I was like, why is he talking about a, first and foremost, crackhead? I was like,
yeah,
whoa.
Yeah.
That was a really good point. There are unintended consequences with changes that you make. That is fair. I just don't think that applies here because Zion seems like he generates that power from deep within.
Oh, it's, yeah, well, for sure. For sure. Lower body, all that good stuff. I hadn't heard of that one. I hadn't thought of that one either.
He was like, the crackhead got cleaned up, lost all his funny.
Yeah.
Lost all his funny. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I probably should have used that during Judge John Lopez.
That is hilarious.
Maybe I would have won that one.
Yeah.
All right, it's the Mixtape in the Loop Sports Radio 610. I got to give a special shout out to John Lopez,
to
man.
Me?
Oh yeah, because you actually, so for those who don't know, you actually wrote a few books.
Yeah.
But one specifically that's turning into a movie pretty soon.
Finally.
Yeah, the story about the Olympian Kerry Strugs.
Yeah.
And you sent this to us, and this is posted by Deadline on Twitter and all that stuff. You can probably find an article there. But the young lady that's supposed to play Kerry Strugs is one Millie Bobby Brown.
That's right. She played 11, right? Was that?
Yeah, she played 11 on Stranger in the hit show Stranger Things. Which, by the way, I think that they coming out with another one. I don't know how
their last season.
I don't know how that's gonna look because them kids getting old.
Yeah,
they were already looking old. It's like, are you sure this is a child? This waited, looks like a whole.
Y'all adult. Waited 3 or 4 more years to do the last season. Yeah. They're gonna be grown ups in this damn show. But tell us more about that, man.
Yeah, so it actually started. In right before COVID, I got contacted by Searchlight and a couple of producers about wanting to do this movie with, you know, back then. Of course, then COVID happened and Olivia Wilde was going to direct it, and we were all excited, and they had the cast just about set and it was ready to roll, and then it faded. You know, you really learn a lot about these things, and it just faded away, and I thought vanished for a while. I get an email again. What was it? I showed it to you guys, or I told you about 5-6 months ago. It said, hey, just so you know, it's not dead. We got Gia Coppola, who's going to Francis Ford Coppola's granddaughter, who's really big in Hollywood. She's fell in love with it, wants to direct it, etc. I'm like, well, hell yeah. And then it faded away for 5 or 6 months, and I thought, well, maybe it's dying again. Then all of a sudden yesterday, I'm like, I get this thing from Variety and Deadline, and they're like, it's in, and the biggest star Netflix has ever had, 65 million, the biggest show, you know, Stranger Things, the show most watched ever on Netflix, is not only going to star in it as Carrie, but she actually, you know, got in to be a co-producer too. So I guess it's happening, man, and so I'll be happy.
That's cool. So you going? I wonder, are you going to get a chance to meet Millie Bobby Brown?
I should. Mostly the producers, and she's one. Maybe the director Gia Coppola, and they've talked about maybe spending a week as a consultant. You know, once they start filming, just to make sure, you know, ask questions and all that stuff. So I'm excited, and it's going to be cool. And as I understand it, they're going to start filming in the spring, probably, you know, March or April. Release it about a year from now in September because, and you know, who knows about this, but they like to be ready for award season at the end of the year and all that stuff. So I'm pretty pumped. It looks like it's finally happening. We got a huge star and a star director.
Don't let Lopez win an Oscar, bro.
Don't
let that happen.
I am going. I don't care if
of course.
Nah, you got to work, buddy.
I am going.
Nah, you got to work. You got a shift to do here,
if there is
here,
a nomination involved,
it's football season, man. No, you can't take off during football season.
Yes, I can.
You know the email.
You know what?
No days off.
Then you can expect me to be here. You can expect me to be here all you want.
He said he gave you the Magic Johnson.
I'm not going to be here.
But it's cool, man. Thank you for shouting that out. And more details officially to come in the next couple of days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's
don't
cool.
Lopez. Don't let Lopez go and be an Oscar winner because I know how obnoxious I would be if I won an Oscar. I'm just letting you know that.
We need those downloads, baby. Oh, yeah. It's going to be Netflix is the one that's leading right now to purchase it.
There you go. You can watch your boxing and your and your
perfect
same place. All right, that's another fantastic edition of Figgy's Mixtape right here on Sports Radio 610, 1:20 p.m. In fact, on this very program. All right, you're coming up next. We get ready to hand things off to the fellas of the drive. It's a Thirsty Thursday, and they are at the Buffalo Wild Wings in Spring. But before we do that, You notice we haven't heard about a couple of players even as D'Amico Ryans took the podium yesterday. Why is that? Let's talk about it next. Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us on this Thursday. Been a fun one. Appreciation to ND Kalu and Ron Slay of 104.5 The Zone in Nashville for joining us. Both of them, very fun to talk to. Of course, not the most fun circumstances. We're dealing with the battle of the defeated. It was 0-3 Texans, 0-3 Titans meeting at NRG Stadium. It's one, let Ron tell it. It feels like the Texans are not even as in a as woeful place as the Titans, but still, got to go out and get that victory nonetheless. And so it's going to be important this Sunday matchup. And I've seen a number of people that seem like they're already letting go of the rope. 8-3-2. To be fair, the Texas season will be over by then again anyways. Brandon on the YouTube, not going to lie, it's only September and the Texas season is already over.
Parker let you take off then.
So yeah, so I can go to the Oscars.
Congratulations. There's a lot of doubt. They got a long way to go to try and like reel people back in and reestablish belief. And it's going to need to start on the football field on Sunday. But you know, obviously, there's that right. All the drama of the offense to this point. There's also when you look at it and you go the drama that was around C.J. Gardner-Johnson. It's kind of obscured something that I was anticipating we would hear, especially from D'Amico, or asked of D'Amico, that we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it interesting we haven't heard about Joe Mixon?
You know what? That's on me. I should have brought that up earlier. I was very surprised, but it was just distractions.
I was listening to the press conference yesterday live, and I'm in real time like, I thought Aaron Wilson was going to ask because he brought up Stingley. I forgot who else he brought up in the injury.
Titus?
It might have been Titus.
Yeah. Which those guys were both
on
the injury report.
But I thought he was going to throw in Mix any update on Mixon. Yeah. And nobody said, I'm like, dang, I end up texting somebody like, I'm going to ask about Mixon.
And to be fair, right, we're not in that window yet. The window will open after week 4 for Joe Mixon and Jimmy Ward. We haven't heard anything about D'Nico Autry either, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's a number of guys that you look up and you go,
he was on the team.
Yeah.
Right. So there's a number of guys who are on, you know, in here. And, of course, D'Nico Autry more on defense where it doesn't feel like, at least at those positions, he's as vital. Man, offensively, Joe Mixon, and we talk about the fact that, like, explosive plays, you need those chunk plays. You know who did that a lot?
That was him.
Joe Mixon. Like,
he was carrying the offense last season, man.
Even without blocking.
Yeah.
Like, just gaining yards extra. And, by the way, Nick Chubb's carries already have gone down from week 2 to week 3.
Well, week 3 was so anomalous, and I can't imagine that it remains that.
Woody Marks went up a little bit.
Sure, yeah, no, yeah. And I think that's relative usage as well. His snap percentage has gone up. I think it was 40%, and I think it probably could stand to maybe to see just a smidge more depending on how things go. But, it's kind of interesting, especially as you talk about turning around this offense, what kind of impact could a Joe Mixon that we've seen, especially if he's anything like what we saw last year, even above what Nick Chubb brings, which is just a battering ram who will knock loose some screws and eventually create some runs. That's different than what Joe Mixon brings, which is like a super elevated of what Woody Marks is even bringing right now. Like that feels like that could be huge in trying to help jumpstart this offense, except we haven't heard anything near that. And if you let Mike Florio tell him when he was on with the fellas of the drive yesterday, was that yesterday or was that the day before? In fact,
2 days ago.
2 days ago. It seems like he's got about as much doubt as I might have myself. This was Florio talking about the situation.
Well, I'm not hearing anything, and I've been trying. And I got to the point where I gave up because when you beat the bushes and no birds fly out of it, you go eventually beat bushes where you're going to have more luck getting an answer. And I just think the fact that there's so much secrecy and it's so quiet, it doesn't bode well for Joe Mixon playing this year. And I think back to Nick Caserio's comments right after they set the 53-man roster. He was asked, are we going to see Joe Mixon at all this year? And his answer was, we'll see. And anybody that ever tried to get something from their parents growing up that they wanted and they heard we'll see knows what we'll see means. It means you ain't getting it. It means it ain't happening. We'll see is just a way to say no without having to say no because you don't want to deal with what the consequences of saying no firmly and clearly right now might be.
I mean, we mentioned the same thing. And just to be clear, does anyone in this room believe that Joe Mixon is going to be back maybe even for the season?
No. I'm going to be honest. The answer is no.
Yeah, no, I don't see it, man.
Mm-hmm. Because just the way they handle these discussions, you know, sometimes they'll give you an update and you can kind of read between the lines, like there's progress or whatever. But we'll see, and I'll let you know when I let you know.
And see, that's why I know you ain't going to get like a clear answer from D'Amico. And I'm not looking for a clear answer, but just keep asking like, hey, what's the update? Just to kind of see if he'll say we'll see again or it's looking okay. And you know, I'll let you know. That says a lot, even though he didn't say anything. Mm-hmm. It might not say anything.
Right.
And I honestly think that might be a Friday D'Amico availability type thing or whatever. I understand why the number of things that were going on pushed like a Joe Mixon question down or maybe entirely out of the priority list for this week. But it is interesting to think about. And to your question on the idea of like any level of belief that he returns for this season, it really struck me Monday when D'Amico was asked after the game for like an update on Stingley. And it came through pretty free flowing. It feels like the times where they really want to hold it or times where it's clearly not something that's, you know, it's going to be rough and they don't want to have to say that in what they believe is protecting the player. I understand and I respect that, but now if I can read it as that, which again, I think that's what I have available to me, that sounds like at the very least, it's not this 4 weeks, right? Because that's what we're talking about with Christian Harris, right? Mm-hmm. At the very least, it wasn't those 4 weeks. It ended up being, what, 14, 15?
Right.
And if it's something similar, look, depending on how quickly Kaylee gets his thing together or they move to someone else or what have you, it could be well too late for
that to
matter.
You know, the biggest thing to me is if you could pick 4 weeks, let's say it's just 4 weeks, it wouldn't be the first four with Joe Mixon. Simply because, you know, the new offense, trying to ramp up, trying to learn it. We heard C.J. Stroud earlier, you know, it's still coming along, et cetera. It's just not where it needs to be. That's when you needed Joe Mixon to maybe, you know, do some of that stuff that he can do when the offense is not clicking.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by kind of the silence there, which, again, it shouldn't be too surprising. That's kind of the MO that they've established. But there's that. And then do you make anything of the D'Amico Autry? Is there enough information for you to even make anything of that? Because he was a guy that, to be fair, we were looking at, and he was not nearly as effective last year as we were hoping he would be.
And we really haven't seen him even in camp.
I was wondering if he would remain on this roster.
Right.
He still is, but his importance is also still, it's no longer as high as what was anticipated when he was brought in.
No, I really don't have any expectation at that point. I also am in the same category as you. It's not a vital thing, but it is curious. To me, the Joe Mixon thing, if you lose him, and it looks like we all agree, you know, you don't have him for the entire year, Nick Chubb is not going to get, you know, more energetic as the season goes along. You know, he's going to wear down some. And then you have to rely on Woody Marks, and who knows? I mean, Damian Pierce is still on the roster, but he's not active.
Well, he hasn't been, and it doesn't feel like he will be, right? Like, I feel like we've passed that place, and he exists on the roster as a failsafe of sorts.
Mm-hmm. Backup plan.
That's interesting. All right. You know what I realized?
What's that?
I wanted to ask Ron a very particular question. I guess you kind of got somewhat to it, but like the hard agree. The quarterback coach now taking over duties, like what could we see out of him?
Yeah.
I guess we really just, he said that they were going to install the game plan in the same way. So I don't know how much more elevation we can expect from the Titans this week.
I'm glad you brought that up because it's kind of like here, if they ever do change play callers here, it's still the same offense, but I still think there's an impact. I think, you know, the style of a particular play caller, what they like to, and he was mentioning the tendencies, you know, you don't want to do screen, pass and run, pass. You know, certain play callers might, it's the same playbook. You can't change that. So your hands are tied there, but you can maybe mix and match some plays that maybe give, you might have a better view, a better eye for what players can excel in what plays.
Just keep that thought in mind. Yeah. You know, not for any particular reason here locally. Just keep that in mind.
Oh, very particular reason.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
this is Seth Payne.
And Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast?
Of course I did. Oh, you're asking everybody else. You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts whenever it works for you.